Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 28th of October, and I'm recording at 8:57 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, my goodness, October. Well, it's been an exciting month so far, hasn't it? And three more days to go. Well, what happened here today, we had a lot of strength on Wall Street, and so I'll really start with that. Now, first, just a couple of numbers, maybe the least important thing, but the Dow up 1.12%, the S&P a little more, 1.19%. The NASDAQ composite up 1.75. When it's a bullish move, it usually shows that NASDAQ outperforming, as it clearly is here today. And looking at all the major indices for the U.S. stock market, the best performing one has been the Transports Index, which powered to a new all-time high in here today. Now, that's really quite significant, because that just shows that it's a good indicator. I'll put it, it's a good indicator of economic recovery actually taking place. So the railroads and airlines are clearly doing better. Now, very close behind, the NASDAQ 100 share index, I think it was actually a new closing high, but not a new intraday high for that for that index. But an impressive move, all told. And, you know, the S&P and the Dow, the S&P's here at 1985, so it's not all that far off its high. And the Dow, similarly, up here at over 17,000, it's actually 17,005. And the Transport Index, previously referred to as the canary in the coal mine, which warned, gave good advance warning of the big shakeout that we saw earlier in the month, that is back up. It's almost reached the middle of its previous top area. So, what to make of it all? Well, a lot of people are saying, look, we had almost the 10% correction. It was bigger in some of the other for the S&P, and it was bigger in some of the other indices, and it has paid over the years to buy when you've had a downside reaction like that, and so trouble's out of the way, and we'll go roaring on up to new all-time highs by the end of the year. Well, there are plenty of more bearish arguments that people are fielding, but, you know, when I weigh it all up here, this is an awfully impressive rally with those indices, for the most part, moving up even faster than they came down. So that says quite a bit, although before they came down, there was a little bit of a rollover pause. But they just shot right straight back up through those ranges. So that suggests to me that leverage, which has concerned me, but that they're still using that leverage quite possibly. I suspect we've had a great deal of short covering in here, so that might leave the market a little bit vulnerable against its overbought condition to a pause and consolidation of these gains overall. But, you know, when I get offsetting factors such as the leverage, such as the concern about Europe or other factors in here, I think that the technical action is what best shows what's going on at this particular time. And effectively, if we look at those U.S. indices, all the major indices pulled back. They moved briefly below their 200-day moving averages, but they didn't stay below those rising 200-day moving averages. And they're now back well above those levels, and the Russell 2000 is ranging rather than rather than going down. So the Russell 2000 broke down, completed a top area, but saw a modest downside move, and then is pushed back up into the pattern, suggesting that it was a failed break to the downside. So bulls are still in charge. How do we explain it? Well, as I've always explained it, I would say that if there's one factor that, or one major reason why one shouldn't be too bearish in here, overall, it's that the Fed is still remarkably accommodative, even though they're just about to end the QE program. Now, when previous QE programs ended, we did have sharp shakeouts, and including, was it 2010? I think we had that, or meh, I'll put the chart up, that bigger reaction. Hold on just a minute. Don't trust my memory on this. I want to see. And we had two sharpish reactions. Yeah, the bigger one was in 2011. We had one in 2010 when a QE program ended. The bigger one was in 2011, and that just squeaked briefly under the door as a 20% plus correction. Although nobody thinks of it as a bear market here today. Interesting. This is the wrapping up of a QE program is cause for a shakeout, and we certainly saw one on Wall Street, but more modest, considerably more modest in percentage terms than what we saw in not only 2011 but also in 2010. Air is a little bit thin up here. We still have those psychological resistance levels, but investors clearly are emboldened by the fact that the market did not break down and stay down, and that's the really important consideration in here overall. Okay, so now it's not just Wall Street, but I'll finish out here. Canada up over 1%, Mexico higher, Brazil up 3.62%, and that may well surprise some given the election result here, but we did have an awfully big move downwards. I think it was a little below the 5,000 level on the Brazilian in index. And it fell down 6,000 level, sorry, and it fell down very, very sharply in the couple of weeks before the actual election occurred. So that move was being discounted, and we're, I would assume, getting some fresh buying and some short covering coming in here now. Now elsewhere, going in reverse, so starting with Wall Street as I did. The European stock markets, they were a little weaker earlier on, but picked up as Wall Street gained momentum. And Wall Street closed right up on the highs for the day. So world stock markets, to the extent that they're influenced by Wall Street, and most of them are, will take comfort here on Wednesday. But some solid gains. Euro stocks 50 up 1.25%. The DAX up 1.86%. That's Germany. Spain up nearly 2%, and Italy up 2.35%. Well, they're solid all the way through. Looking at all the European stock markets up, and the Swiss market index, which is not an EU market but it's a European market, obviously. That's nearly up 1.3%, and it has been an outperformer here in the European context. Okay, what else happened in the Asia Pacific region? Not quite so good. Japan had a small decline, just over a third of a percent for the Nikkei 225. And China, though, good action, very good action in here today. The Hang Seng Index, that's the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which of course had been doing very well until we had those 3 4 weeks of protests, big protests led by the students. That knocked it right back down. But good gain in here today, up 1.63%. That takes the Hang Seng back up to 23,520. And the Shanghai Composite, more importantly, because remember yesterday that it was right down, it was a little bit oversold, and it was testing the September low and had a very good upward dynamic, over 2% to the upside here today, carrying that index up 47 points to 23,000, beg your pardon, 2,337 and change. But it was a China region generally, and so that's a good sign. So the Taiwan index up 1.69%, the HS China Enterprise Index up 2.3%. Good action, as I say. South Korea, third of a point lower. Australia down a tiny, just over a tenth of a percentage point down. India, which had a good day yesterday, up in here again today, almost half a percent for the Sensex Index. And what I think is impressive is that the Indian Banks Index, that's BANKEX, if you look at that, that's hit another new all-time high. If banks are leading, I don't think you have too much to on the upside. I don't think you have too much to worry about, and vice versa. Weaker banks is a major warning signal. Now, again, Indonesia looks like the only one that was down in here today of the of the remaining Asia Pacific markets. Moving on to government bonds, those yields are creeping back up. The U.S. 10-year is up to 2.2943%, but it's only moved up modestly in here against background of this Wall Street rally. So that's not going to worry anybody. Overall, and incidentally, well, I'm not a fan of bonds at these levels. Hat off or hat tip to the people who have invested in those bonds. I feel it's risky, but they're the ones who are laughing and still counting the profits in here. And we'll see how much longer that actually lasts, but. The U.S. bond market is still in form. What makes me nervous? Well, it's the fact that QE is ending, and also that we are at historically low yields. So the obvious point is that the next major move is to the upside, and the only way that wouldn't happen would be if Wall Street went into some sort of long deflationary type of slump, but the action, not least that leadership of the transport index, is suggesting the opposite, that the U.S. is slowly and somewhat erratically, the U.S. economy is slowly and somewhat erratically continuing to recover, as I think it will continue to do so. Now, again, looking at other markets, the US dollar index is down a little bit in here today. That's back to 85.40, nearly 4.1. Other currencies, sterling a little bit higher, 1.6130. The euro a little higher, 1.2732. The Aussie dollar higher, 0.8854, and the greenbacks also higher against the Japanese yen. They're 108.19 yen to the dollar. That should help Japan in here tomorrow as well. Most stock markets will be helped by this action on Wall Street. And looking at the commodity markets here, palladium up over $6, 7.93. This has been a serial underperforming sector, though, and it still is. Silver up a little bit, just over 3 cents, nearly 3.5 cents, to 17.195. Platinum did best, 1267 and change. That's up $13. And gold, 1228.6. Overall, are they building support? Now, gold had that downside failure from its range, and I think they're reasonable value in here at these levels, but the obvious point is that nobody very much is interested at this time. Industrial metals, a little bit firmer. This copper has continued to edge higher in here. 308, or nearly 309 on the cents on the US copper price. And in terms of grains and beans, a little bit firmer in here today, so they continue to range quietly higher here overall. And in another interesting development, you might remember yesterday, if you had a chance to hear the audio, I said that the two commodity indexes, so the CRY and the CCI, that they both hit new reaction lows yesterday, although they closed off those reaction lows. And today they were firmer. So what we've had is a failed downside break by both of those commodity indices. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't pick up here a little bit. Also, slightly firmer in here on the day is the oil contracts. The Brent just above the $86 level, and the WTI is at 81.52. Again, they had a big fall into bear market territory in terms of the over 20% move to the downside. The moves steepened sharply in the latter stages, so that looked climactic, and they are ranging in what I suspect is a probable support building phase here right now. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.